Well, when I'm not doing very busy pastoral kinds of things, I'm doing exactly the same things that all of you are doing. I'm watching Dancing Cats on Facebook. And as I look at my Facebook news feed, I always see interesting things, some of which grab my attention for longer than others. Last week, there was something from Philco Ford from 1967. Maybe some of you saw this on your Facebook feed. It was a little film called AD 1999, The House of the Future. Now, I was born in 1967, so I thought, oh gosh, I wonder what kinds of things people were imagining for the future back the year that I was born. And how did they do? I can remember 1999, so I wanted to take a look at it, and it was a very interesting look into how we think about the world. They got a number of things right. In 1967, as they imagined the future, there was a huge flat screen in the living room of this house. And they were able to show videos that had been recorded live when people had gone out to different things. I thought that was really prescient of them. They also imagined that you could, of all things, shop on a computer. They also talked about the way that pre-prepared frozen foods could be warmed up in just seconds or minutes in a microwave oven. As I watched this, I noticed that all of the imaginings that they did about the future still happened while people were wearing 1967 clothing. But I noticed something else. All of these imaginings about what might happen 33 years into the future took into account gender roles and assumed that they would be almost exactly the same. As this little movie showed, even though mom would have access to all kinds of different electronic gadgets, mom's realm was still the realm of the household. And even though dad would have access to all kinds of other gadgets, dad's realm was the realm of work. Now, in this film, mom was an artist and she created pottery, but she could do it at home while she was looking after their child and while she was preparing meals and while she was making sure that her husband would be happy when he returned home from work. And instead of just having one site, like for instance Amazon, the computers had two different places where things would happen. So mom could do her shopping online in her room, and dad could pay for everything online in his room. It's amazing, isn't it, how it's difficult for us to move beyond gender assumptions, even when we're imagining a future that's so radically different from the day and place in which we live. I mean, in 1967, it was seriously creative of the Philco Ford people to imagine huge flat screens inside of people's homes, to imagine shopping online inside people's homes. This was a time before there was an internet, before we had even AOL, much less Google or Amazon. And yet, as they were dreaming big and thinking forward, they didn't imagine much in the way of new gendered roles. And I was thinking about that as I was rereading our passage from Luke for today, often called Mary's Magnificat, because I was thinking that as we imagine Mary and as we read these words, sometimes we only picture Mary as that vessel for God's love who bore forth the Christ child and who, as we see in our figures here before our table, stood or kneeled nearby and looked lovingly into the manger. Sometimes we forget that Mary is an incredible example of faithfulness, of courage, and even of prophecy. Mary was a prophet. Mary understood clearly who God was and what God was doing in the world as she received the annunciation from the angel and as she later responded after having visited her cousin Elizabeth about what it meant that God was acting in the world at this time. Remember the story. Mary and Elizabeth are together and they are both pregnant. They're both aware that something is happening. And Elizabeth even says to Mary that the child has leapt in her womb when she heard Mary's greeting. Elizabeth goes on to say this about Mary. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth might also have been speaking about herself. Two women talking together, celebrating the blessing of what it means for a woman to believe in the fulfillment of what was spoken to them by the Lord. By golly, that's the very definition of a prophet. A prophet is someone who receives a word from God, who believes that word, sometimes even though they don't want to. We'll get back to the difference between how men prophets receive the word and how these prophets receive the word in a moment. And then believe that it will be fulfilled. Think about all the prophet names that you know. Isaiah and Amos and Jeremiah and Hosea and Joel and all the different prophet names that you know. These were people who heard a word from the Lord and then spoke that word to Israel about God's purposes in the world and how they would be fulfilled. This is precisely what Elizabeth's blessing says, both, I propose, about Elizabeth herself and about Mary, that they are blessed because God spoke to them and that they believed that what God said would be fulfilled. Let's take a look at what the prophet Mary has to say in her song of praise, often called the Magnificat, the song that magnifies. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant." Mary realizes that God is doing something through her. And the job of her soul is not just to receive it. The job of her soul is not just to personalize it. But her soul magnifies the Lord, understands as much as it can God's greatness, shares with the world as much as she can God's wonder, proceeds to share with the rest of the world through her words and her brave and courageous deeds God's grace being enacted in the Christ child growing in her womb. God has looked with favor on the lowliness of God's servant. Mary understands not that God's presence in her life puffs her up, makes her great, makes her better, but that she understands God's presence comes even to those who are the lowly, especially to those who are the lowly. Mary goes on as she sings her song of praise, as she makes her proclamation to the world to do what prophets often do. She shows that she has an understanding of God's past. Prophets know what kind of God God is. That's how they recognize God's word when it comes to them. Mary understands that God gives mercy to those who fear the Lord, to those who understand rightly God's grace and God's sovereignty. She understands that God does this from generation to generation, that God's just not a God that used to be, God's not only a God that is, God's more than a God who will be. God is that God from generation to generation. And that God's strength is shown when God scatters the proud and uplifts those who are lowly. When God has brought the powerful from their thrones, when God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty, God has done this through the life of Israel and now throughout the world as an exclamation, as a showing forth of God's mercy. Mary shows as a prophet that she understands God's past. More than that, as all of this is going on in her life, Mary shows forth that she gets the fact that God is present in her life. She realizes from what she's heard from the angel, from what Elizabeth has said, from the experience that she is having, that God is moving in her life in important ways, and that she is privileged to share that with others. She's doing prophetic work. I know who God has been, Mary proclaims. God is the one that challenges social structures. God is the one that brings up the lowly. God is the one that fills the stomachs of the hungry. And God is the one who will send the rich and powerful away empty. They already have, sometimes more and even much more than they need. God acts in the world so that all of God's people can be heard, can be filled, can be loved. Mary doesn't just tell a story about how nice it is to be pregnant. I'm sure that would be a different story, right? Any of you who have been pregnant know that that story changes from day to day and from month to month. Mary doesn't just tell the story about something she has heard about God. Mary witnesses forth to the world her prophetic utterance that God has been a God who, through love and mercy for the world, upsets and reorganizes and reorders social structures, and she shows forth her faith that God is present with her. She also acknowledges faithfully God's promise. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Mary knows that the God of the past, the God that she senses present in her life today, is also a God who enacts promises through the generations and for the future. And that means that Mary and we participate in potential. If God really was who Mary says God was, if God really is present with us in the way that Mary affirmed God's presence in her life, if God really did make the promises to Abraham and Abraham's descendants, by the way, gender expectations again. There was this person named Sarah in these stories. And by the by, there we know a person named Hagar was also in these stories. If God really made promises in the presence of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and others, there is potential in our lives as we respond to those promises to be vessels that receive and then pour out God's grace and mercy to the world that God loves so much. As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us listen closely to the prophet Mary. Let us listen closely to the ways in which her soul magnified the Lord and understand that she knew who God was. God is the God who who lifts up the lowly. God is the God who calls us into solidarity with those who are hurting and hungering and in need of healing in the world. God is the God who creates and calls forth new systems and structures of love and mercy. And let us believe, now and always, that the presence of God that Mary experienced and proclaimed is also, through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, moving through our communities, here, now, for, with, and in us. As we move forward toward Christmas Day, and as we revere and remember these images that we have here before our table, and as we see them around our community, when we see these images and we see the Christ child so full of promise and yet so vulnerable in that manger, and we see Mary there kneeling beside him, let us never forget that that woman kneeling there is a woman who uttered prophetically what God was up to as the Christmas story unfolded, and her words resonate with us even today. What's happening through that little child lying in the manger? What's happening through that young life entering the world? What's happening is God is acting again in history and calling forth God's people to understand, to participate in, and to proclaim God's grace, God's mercy, God's love. Oftentimes, to really get what the biblical stories are trying to tell us, we have to step out of our own time and we have to imagine our way into the text. We have to let the text disrupt our lives just a little bit, because sometimes it's saying things that we're not hearing very clearly because we're not listening very closely. Just like that film I mentioned earlier from 1967, it imagined the future, and it got some things right, but it made lots and lots of assumptions that the things that it knew about its time in 1967 would always be true into the future. This biblical text disrupts us. This biblical text should, in some ways, disturb us. This biblical text, in many ways, calls us forth to a new way of being. It says to us, the God you've read about, the God who did incredible things in history, the God that was responsible for turning the social order on its head, is still at work in the world and continues to do just that. If only you believe, if only you will participate, if only your soul will magnify the Lord. Well, here's what Mary knew about God. Mary knew God was real. Mary knew what God had been up to, God's past. Mary knew that God was with her. Mary experienced God's presence in her life. Mary knew that God is one who promises to be with God's people even as God is bringing up the lowly and bringing down the haughty. And Mary knew that she had potential and a calling to participate in what God would be doing in the world. My prayer for each of us this morning is that we would know those very same things. That we can proclaim here and now today that God is real, that God has in the past enacted God's love and mercy in incredibly powerful ways, and that God is present in and through our lives in the Holy Spirit through the name and life and death and resurrection of Jesus our Christ, and that gives us a call to live God's promises into our future. The Christmas story is not just something we remember. The Christmas story is something we proclaim, something in which we participate, and something that calls us into the future. As we thank God for Jesus, as we thank God for the angels, as we remember the shepherds, as we remember the wise ones and the stars, let us never forget the prophets of the Christmas story. Elizabeth, Mary. They heard God's voice. They felt God's presence. They responded to God's call. They proclaimed God's truth. And for those prophets and all those who have come after, thanks be to God. Amen.